You gonna do it?
Yep.
Although I just want to make.
Nope.
Dom says he's gonna talk to me.
Hey, let's focus up, huh?
I doubt that.
Oh no, they're telling me to talk now. All right. See, did you guys play the whiteboard sounder? Yes. Okay. And I couldn't hear, so I wasn't sure what was going on. This is very exciting already. All right, it is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 3rd, starting with the headline, which is, of course, that the Canucks lose 6-3 in an ugly one to the Vegas Golden Knights. Started ugly, like brief glimmers if you squint of hope.
Strong disagree.
But then just remained ugly.
I actually thought the start, as bad as it was just as bad as the second and third period from the Canucks. So let's start there. Vancouver came out of the gate and got flattened, right? So you've got the DeSmith turnover early, a chance at a chance that a Vegas forward just can't quite complete the pass out front, but immediately the Canucks are under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequent shift, another chance at a chance goes awry, and then Ivan Barbashev gets like a pretty dangerous shot through a screen. Shift three, the Canucks finally like cross the blue line. Into the Vegas end.
Yep.
Puck goes the other way, sloppy change. Dorofeev makes a sick move. Like that was a sick backhand forehand deke, and he lifted the puck.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he didn't get, like that save by DeSmith was amazing. And then of course it got wasted because DeSmith swiped the puck over
that
directly to Anthony Mantha, who opened the scoring. But you know, by that point, Vegas had already made a statement of intent. Whether that breakaway got stopped or not, you know, we knew what was coming. We knew that Vegas was finding success cutting through the Canucks in the neutral zone, and we knew that they were ready to play with something approximating, you know, real intensity, and the Canucks weren't. And the Canucks didn't fight back. Like, they didn't find that level of intensity. They couldn't match Vegas's just, like, overall pace and desire at all through the first period. Another odd man rush, Jonathan Marchessault, 40-goal scorer, basically with tons of time and space from below the circles. Guess what? That's not on DeSmith.
Yep.
Jack Eichel tapping after the Canucks misplay a 3-on-2. Not on DeSmith. Fourth goal was a power play goal, and I know that's the one that people will be like, oh, DeSmith. It's like multiple cross-seam passes and then a point shot through an enormous amount of traffic. That is a tough save. That is a tough save. I don't care what the distance tells you. And even the fifth one, the Canucks have a huge breakdown up high on the PK. It's actually a 2-on-1, and Pietrangelo uncorks like a massive, massive shot. And then William Karlsson beats the defender to the puck. Like, what are you going to do? You got a 2-on-1 down low and you make the first save.
Yeah.
Like at some point, you know, you've got to offer. This is so I'm not here for blaming DeSmith. The Canucks for one night only turned the puck back to 2022 and played Boudreaux hockey, hung DeSmith out to dry. And for me, you know, the thing about that is that's a one-off. I don't think this team's going to be permissive defensively going forward. I still buy that this Canucks team's like an imposing defensive group. I'm not worried about their defensive play coming out of that game.
I don't think they're going to be the Boudreaux era Canucks again, but I'd also like, I'm not ready just to say it was a one-off. And I mean, you made the point in your piece at The Athletic, right? About Bruce Cassidy and how good he is at finding ways to attack teams and kind of putting that on tape, so to speak, putting it out there for other teams to attack the Canucks. Now, I'm not saying all of a sudden every team is going to be as dangerous against the Canucks off the rush as the Vegas Golden Knights were, but the fact that the Golden Knights were able to execute that, and then, you know, you look at the teams that the Canucks could be playing in the first round of the playoffs, or at least in the second round, if you know, if they want to go far in the playoffs, like, guess what? There's a lot of teams that can really punish you off the rush. So it doesn't need to be full Boudreaux era for it to concern me, because right now, defense in general, but specifically limiting things off the rush, has been arguably the best feature of this team's game. So if that slips even a little bit, all of a sudden, you're taking away from like your bedrock thing, you can cornerstone thing you can absolutely rely on. So even if it just goes from elite to pretty good, like that's a big concern for me.
Yeah, I just don't think it will. Like, even though you're right, so Cassidy adjusts better than anyone else in the league. Back in late November, he put something on tape. Again, I'm not well versed enough in the minutia of hockey X's and O's, mm-hmm, to like tell you exactly what happened. But Cassidy put something on tape that caused Vegas to have more success blowing up those like slips and interchanges that Hronek and Hughes were feasting on in the first couple months, and Vancouver's top pair had to adjust. Now, just because you have to adjust doesn't necessarily mean you're like turning the dial significantly on the effectiveness of what the team does. Like, one guy who I guarantee you is going to be wise to an adjustment or something like, you know, a solution found by another coach and working to find their own countermeasures in response to it. That's Rick Tocchet, man. You know, like, this guy's very attuned to this stuff. So, first of all, I don't even know if coaches, like tonight, I don't know if Andre Tourigny will have enough time to implement it anyway. But also, you know, I just don't think, I don't think Tocchet's going to be out of answers necessarily, even if, you know, it cost them last night.
I agree that. Again, I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be like a free pass to the net against the Canucks on the rush. It's concerning that if one of your strengths is being undercut this close to the playoffs, while there are a lot of other question marks, you know what I mean?
I get
that. That is a major source of concern for me coming out of last night.
I need to see a lot more evidence before I say it's happening, but it's definitely something to watch because Vegas had way more success just like breaking through Vancouver's wedge than any other team has this season, right? Like how difficult it is to skate through the Canucks. We talked about it after that Winnipeg game, right? That like the one area that the Canucks can be a bit vulnerable is if you can make a six pass team move with skilled plays up all the way up the ice. And that's a good weakness to have, right? Even that looks tough. Even when Winnipeg did it twice in 5 minutes and ended that game a few months ago or a few weeks ago in Vancouver, it looked difficult. What was scary about last night was Vegas made it look easy, simple. Anyway, so that's part one. Do we want to talk about the controversial calls?
Sure.
What did you think?
So I thought the penalty against Zadorov, like
they're both against Zadorov.
Yeah, sure. But the first one where the second one where he gets kicked out of the game.
That's totally fine. I'm sorry.
On the harsh side, but like he's going right through the numbers into the boards. I can't get too worked up about it.
That for me, that has to be a major. And the only concern or issue that I think is fair to have with it is that it's not always right. Like when Manson hit JT Miller in that Avs game, that also should have been a major. Like the problem isn't that Zadorov was assessed a major. I don't think that's a harsh penalty at all. At no point does he see anything but numbers. And he finishes
the
hit.
Thing. But that's what I mean. It's on the harsh end of the spectrum, as it's called in the NHL.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I have a problem with it. That's if you're going to make a hit like that, you're rolling the dice that could be an outcome.
I would far prefer to see that be a consistent standard where that's consistently a major and a match penalty as opposed to the opposite. Pietrangelo. I didn't think it was a head snap.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been a penalty.
It was a terrible call.
Yes.
But the, like, head snap discussion, like that is a very big man, Nikita Zadorov, putting you into the wall while his stick comes up. You do that to any human being on the planet, and guess what they're going to do with their head?
Move it backwards.
Oh, I'd like to avoid that stick making contact with my chin, please. And that was like as clean a defensive maneuver as I think you'll see. Like, given that he's being checked as it happens and that the stick is coming up quickly, the fact that he threw his head back to avoid contact. And that's not a head snap. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about teams selling calls against the Canucks. And I'm always happy to call it out when it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't it.
It was just a really bad call.
A rotten call, as Ray Ferraro quite expertly put it. But the glomming onto it with like the Pietrangelo, what a rat, or like, oh, you know, there's no moralizing there. Like, I really encourage you, if you think that's a head snap, to go like, you know, watch a game close up. Maybe go to Arizona to do it.
I remember having this debate all the way back in like 2011 when it was so often the Canucks were the team being accused of the head snapping, right? And I'm not going to deny that
it
players
happened.
Embellish. Of course it does.
Yeah.
But I also think, to your point, like imagine going full speed in an NHL game and all of a sudden there's this stick, even if it doesn't make contact with you, but it's in your face and you're totally locked in. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Like, have you ever been like riding your bike and like a bug flies in your face? What do? You snap your head back. And it's not because you're trying to draw a penalty. It's like you're startled by the bug being there.
I was once biking through Trinity Bellwoods in Toronto and I was like catching air burgers, just like for some reason riding the bike with my mouth open, and a bee flew right into my mouth and stung me before I could eject it. And you know what? I head snapped.
I bet you did. That would be very surprising.
It was a bad time.
So again, I'm not saying like nobody ever does this. Of course players do it. Of course they do. But it's just sometimes we're like slowing it down so much frame by frame and it's like, oh, look at that. It's like, well, I don't know. There's lots of reasons that could happen.
And not putting in the context like of I'm currently getting hit by a 6'6", 220-pound guy on skates whose stick is also coming rapidly up toward my head.
Yeah.
I might try to get out of the way here. You know, even if he's got enough control that it's not going to hit me, doesn't excuse a bad call. That was a terrible
100%,
100%.
Call. 100%.
And ultimately mattered too, because the Canucks did score a third goal. So it's like the game winner was scored on that call. Hate that. Poorly officiated game. What did you expect when you saw the refs assigned?
The other thing that stands out to me from that game is both times where the Canucks, so they get it to 2-1. Boom, Vegas scores instantly. That's the Eichel goal. And then they get it to 5-3 early in the third period. And, like, you know, still a lot of work to do at that point to make it a game or come back and tie it. And then what, like 20 seconds later, the Golden Knights score to make it 6-3. And it's just that might be for all of the matchups in the last couple of months against other Western Conference playoff teams that have had fans in our inbox really, really concerned. You know, oh, they can't match up with these really good teams. That one last night was, I think, one of the only ones where I've really felt like they were seriously outclassed, right? And it's moments like that, right, where Vegas is just like, we're going to step on the gas right now and punish you.
Well, Vegas, the first Vegas game left me feeling like that. The first Vegas game left me feeling like that and this one. But I've also seen Vegas look completely stuck in the mud against this Canucks team, you know, and
yeah.
I didn't think the Canucks had anything approaching like the necessary legs or intensity in the opening period. And that to me is understandable at this time of year. What I struggle with a lot more, Jamie, is that they come out in the second period and you know, Vegas gets the fifth goal on that major penalty. And for about 25 minutes from that point on, the Canucks actually finally match Vegas's gumption, Vegas's like passion to win that actual game. And they actually started to play in Vegas's end a bit, although if you go look at like Vegas's ice time, I don't think Vegas was taking it all that seriously. They didn't challenge the second goal, which, you know, was a 50-50. So, you know, that's context here. But the Canucks were actually turning up, and then it was, you know, work the puck up high, point shot. Work the puck up high, point shot. Work the puck up high, point shot. And it's just like, How are you gonna catch up like this? Now they end up getting 2-point shot goals, one on the power play from Quinn Hughes and another one, but like trailing 5-1 when the game returns to 5-on-5 after the major penalty in the final 35 minutes of the game, Canucks generated 4 high danger scoring chances in 35 minutes.
Yeah,
like at no point did they have Vegas under a lick of duress. And the moment the game even got to the point where it was like, oh, hey, maybe that could be interesting now, that could at least set up for an interesting finish, Vegas' fourth line ventilated Vancouver and scored a no-doubter 2-on-1. Like, as the cleanest, a 2-on-1 so clean you could eat off it.
Mm-hmm. You could see that goal coming as soon as it started, right? You're like, uh-oh, yep. this is where that puck is going, and it's probably going in.
Oh, and I mean, you saw some, like, when Vancouver was on the power play, right? Like, there was a lot of odd man stuff against the Canucks last night. To me anyway, that is the real concern here, right? Like, you are going to have games where you fall behind like that. Like, that's going to happen. And if you can't manufacture the looks required to overcome it, to win a couple ugly playoff games, you know, that leaves you in that if you're too reliant on just defending, that leaves you like the 2011 Canucks where you know, score 8 goals in a series and force a game 7, but When the games go against you, do you have that gear to actually like pull off? No Stanley Cup champion emerges without having done something that no one can believe. Like, wow, unbelievable! I can't believe they came back from that.
Yeah,
like that's necessary. That's necessary to win a Stanley Cup. And you know, for me anyway, I'm not worried about this team matching up against good teams. We've seen all season this team's like amassed a pretty good record, frankly, against the top teams in the league. What I am worried about is when they fall behind against these good defensive teams, not Columbus, but your Vegas or LA type teams, it's just these hopeful point shots and looking for deflections. And I just don't think that's enough juice to actually get back in games against these good teams.
All right, we'll talk more about the matchup with Arizona tonight later on in the show. Get your text in about last night as well. But moving on here with the whiteboard. Again, technical difficulties. We're going to have to push Donnie and Dolly in the crossover till tomorrow's show as we get everything worked out here. So we're doing the whiteboard here. We'll skip the broadsheet today. Lineup notes. So the team plays again in Arizona back-to-back. So no morning skate. Obviously, Archer Seelovs will get this start after Casey DeSmith was in that last night. And I'm going to be interested to see who comes out, right? A rough showing, and there's certainly no shortage of options of players who are candidates to come out of the lineup after last night. I mean, the bottom six group is really struggling to generate offense. Now, not that you look at Phil DiGiuseppe or Neil Zaman to come in and really spark the offense, but is there a situation where, you know, Arshdeep Bains could come out of the lineup? As they continue doing their load management, could Ian Cole get a sit tonight? So I think that's going to be worth monitoring, is who does Rick Tocchet choose to take out of the lineup? How does he choose to shuffle things a little bit after that 6-3 result in Vegas last night? Playoff forecast, Canucks loss last night in Vegas drops them from a 70% chance to win the division down to a 61% chance to win the Pacific Division per Dom Lucision's model at The Athletic. Now,
sorry, will you repeat that for me?
So drop them from a 70% chance to win the division to a 61% chance to win the division. Now, tonight is a massive, massive night for the Pacific Division with the Canucks playing Arizona, yes, on a back-to-back, but still a team they should beat. Edmonton in Dallas against a very good Stars team. So that's a really tough matchup. They're the underdogs on the road, as you'd expect. So there could be a scenario here where, like, this could be a massive swing. If things go in the Canucks' direction, if they take care of business, pick up the 2 points in Arizona, and Edmonton loses to the Stars, that's a huge swing here. And we've talked a lot about how condensed Edmonton's schedule is. It's going to be really difficult for them to make up the ground if, especially if, the results go Vancouver's way tonight. So big, big game for the Pacific Division stakes. New most likely playoff opponent after that one last night, it is Vegas, with a 36% chance to be matched up against the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round. And of course, there's two routes to that. There's falling into second and Vegas stays in third in the Pacific Division. The other one is you win the division, but Vegas drops into the second wild card spot. So either of those still on the table, but Vegas, 36% chance to be the Canucks first round playoff opponents.
Yeah. So they're winning enhanced it significantly.
Yeah,
because
although it's stuck, like, Vegas, I believe yesterday, Vegas's most likely first round playoff opponent is still Edmonton at 53%, which I think is where it was yesterday as well. So
for Vegas, it's just either Vancouver or Edmonton.
That's where it's getting to right now. And then second for the Canucks is LA at 31%.
Don't think.
And then I would imagine Nashville's third in like the mid-20s.
I don't think we want to see Vegas in the first round.
No.
I'd be okay with the travel, though.
No, thank you. Oh, yeah, still a 28% chance to face the Predators as well. So pretty evenly distributed between those three teams for the Canucks' first-round playoff opponent.
Gambling odds. Canucks go into Mullet Arena, that storied building, to play the Arizona Coyotes, who might be broke.
Might be?
Broker than usual. The Coyotes are home underdogs, as you'd expect, although they've been scoring goals in bunches. I guarantee you, I've followed this team long enough to know this. Dylan Gunther is going to do something tonight. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something tonight. Anyway, the Coyotes are home dogs plus 130, Canucks minus 145 road favorites. Not exactly a big,
not huge,
not exactly highly favored this evening are your Vancouver Canucks. The over-under opened at 6.5, and it's been steamed down a little bit to mostly 6. You can still get it at 6.5 in some places, but mostly 6, with plus money on the under 6. Archer Seelovs gets the start for the Canucks. Hard to bet the under on this one. Nice call for me on the over last night, by the way.
You picked the over. I came through.
I like whenever you get a round number, so it's at 6 tonight. It's hard for me. I wouldn't want to bet the under tonight because I know this about this Canucks team. I think they're going to come in hugely dialed in defensively. You would think after last night that this team's going to take care of their own end of the rink. So as much as the Coyotes have scored, that feels to me like it's just inflating this over, and it's around numbers so high a probability of a push. I probably narrowly favor the under, but would stay away.
All right, that's the whiteboard for today, April 3rd. Again, technical difficulties, so we will endeavor to reschedule the crossover for tomorrow's show. But lots more Canucks talk coming up. We'll dive into the inbox. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We'll take some of your texts. On the other side, Jason Buchla will join us, we hope, at 1 o'clock. So stay tuned and see if we can get Books on the line at 1 o'clock. More Canucks talk here on Sportsnet 650.